Okay, now, have you ever thought about employing the services of a life coach? What exactly does a life coach do, and how can they help you? Well, to find out this morning, we are joined by one, Annarine Rousseau, who is a certified life coach and joins us this morning to talk about how life coaching can help you, whether that be in your personal life or your career. A very good morning to you, Annarine. Lovely to have you with us.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
No, pleasure. Let's start at the very beginning then. What is a life coach? What do you actually do?
Well, I'd like to actually explain what a life coach is with an example, if I may.
Please.
So I want you to think of like a sports coach. You know, why are we going to see a sports coach? So if we look at that and we unpack that, we realize that they're going to improve a skill. They're going to make us focus on what it is that we want to achieve. They're going to help us with the direction on how to achieve. They are ultimately going to hold us accountable for what it is that we want. And it's very similar with a life coach. A life coach is going to do all of those things. They're going to encourage you, teach you a skill, hold you accountable, help you direct the path of where it is that you want to be.
I am absolutely intrigued by the type of people who use a life coach because a lot of people go and see a therapist, a psychologist, they go and talk things through. But who are the people that are coming to see you? Do they come from a wide spectrum, diverse backgrounds, all sort of different spheres of life?
Absolutely. The thing, the people who basically come and see me are people who know that they are uncomfortable with the situation and they need to change and they want something more from their life and they're just not entirely sure on what is the path I need to do to get there. So what we do is we unpack where you're at and we start envisioning who the person is that you need to be in order to kind of create that so you can get there.
So let's talk then about in a little bit more detail. Let's say that I come to you, Annarine, and I say, okay, these are the areas that I want to focus on. Let's say, for example, I'm single. I'm in my 30s. Clearly not me at all. I'm single. I'm in my 30s. I don't have any children, and I want to get a promotion this year. Where do you start?
Well, first, that's a lot of stuff. So we're going to bring it down into smaller avenues because if you're looking to achieve that, it becomes too much. It's way too overwhelming.
Got it.
So we're going to take that and we're going to break it down into smaller bits.
Mm.
So first, we want to achieve in our career and we want a love partner.
Mm.
And we're going to work on those individually so it's not so much. So what we'll do, let's take wanting to work on the career. We're going to spend some time. We're going to unpack that. Where are you at? You know, let's say that you're wanting to get a promotion and you're wanting to move into a managerial position. So we're going to envision you as that manager and how are you going to get there? We can pinpoint milestones that you need to reach in order to be recognized as a manager.
Here's what I'm hearing from you, because a lot of people will, they will know how to do the thing. They will, you know, if I sit here and say, okay, well, I'd like to get a promotion, for example. I know what I need to do. I know what I need to do to get from A to B. I know that the actual steps, but sometimes is it just about having someone on your team?
It is about someone having on your team. It's someone about pushing you forward.
Yeah.
But also, it's somebody who's going to allow you to see it in another perspective. So we deal with that. It's like, actually, you know exactly what you need to do to become a manager. But let's deal with the fact that you're not doing anything.
Because you're procrastinating.
The reason you actually come to see me is not to become that manager. It's to deal with the fact that you cannot do anything to push yourself forward. So we unpack we look and see, okay, this is where you want to be. This is the beautiful picture that you envision and you're displaying. And then we're saying, right, how are we going to get there? And what are the reasons why you're not already there? So we unpack the reality of where you're actually standing.
Annarine, in your experience, what are the things that hold most of us back from being where we want to be, or being where we could be, being where we should be, achieving the goals that we want to achieve?
It actually all comes down to a state of mind. we get stuck in the negative and we do not allow ourselves to push forward. I can't tell you how many people come and see me and they actually are self-bullying. They repeat negative, nasty things to themselves all the time. And then, you know, you sit back and you wonder, like, how are you going to achieve what you need to achieve and push yourself forward and grow and develop if all you're doing all day is being negative to yourself?
Yeah.
So, you know, absolutely focus on the positive and start recognizing that this is actually what you're saying to yourself. You're saying things like, you know, I'm actually not worthy. If you're feeling you're not worthy and you're telling yourself you're not worthy, how are you going to become that person?
If you just tuned in this morning to Weekend Breakfast, we are chatting to Annemarie Rousseau, who is a life coach. And we are talking about what exactly is it a life coach does and how they can help you in both your personal life and your career. We were speaking in this segment a few weeks ago, Annemarie, about imposter syndrome. And we were joined by an expert talking about that and that negative self-voice and how people who are completely capable, often more than capable, often sort of overachievers are the ones who often have the biggest sense of imposter syndrome, the loudest negative voice, the biggest irrational fears. Would you agree with that?
Yes, it's actually quite interesting because sometimes, but you've got to monitor how much, that negativity can actually be the fuel that gets you going.
Okay.
Because you're so afraid of having that negative, you know, self-criticism that you're like, I've got to push myself forward, I've got to go. But what happens is you get stuck within that negativity, and then that negativity lands up with a negative outcome. And then it proves your negativity. You see how you start getting stuck. And that, for me, is one of the reasons why most of my clients, well, some of them, are not going to achieve their goals or their desires or the things that they want, is because they get stuck in that negative feeling, and it's overwhelming.
Is it, but it's presumably possible to get unstuck. Is getting unstuck a process or is it a decision?
It's a bit of both.
Right.
So you have to decide. You have to say, okay, I'm acknowledging, it doesn't happen. You have to work through it.
Mm.
So you acknowledge the fact that you're actually having nasty things about yourself all the time. And you see, the thing is we repeat what we say. So you don't just say it once to yourself. You say it over and over and over again. So acknowledge the fact of what you're saying. Like, literally, I suggest to my clients, actually write the thoughts down. You know, tune into your self radio and listen to what you're saying. Because once you know that you are saying these things and what you are saying, then you can work on the process of stopping to say that. And the way you stop to say, so let's use an example. Let's say that you're wanting to improve your career, but at the back of your mind, you keep telling yourself, I'm actually not worthy, I don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
If you unpack that and you find evidence of where you are worthy, where life has worked for you, so you take away that negative and you look at it from a positive, then your life starts to slowly, like, you know, move into that positive stream. And then the positive equals the positive.
I love that, because everything that you're saying is making so much sense to me. And I love that you're saying, you know, it's about reframing the way we feel about ourselves, I think, isn't it?
Yes.
About the thing of, and what's so interesting to me is that so often we can tell ourselves these negative things and there is absolutely no evidence to back it up. None at all. And yet,
none
at all. And yet somebody says something positive about you and you say, oh no, and you dismiss it. And yet there might be enormous amounts of evidence to suggest that you are this brilliant person in your career, or you are an incredibly kind and generous person. But we ignore that. Why is our negative voice often so much louder than our positive voice? Why do we find it so much easier? You know, it's funny, even doing this job, Annemarie, you know, I might get one not so nice message that gets sent in during the course of a show. And it really affects me, whereas I'll ignore all the other 100 that say, oh, SJ, love the show, love the topic. Why? Why is that? Why am I focusing on the negative?
I think it's a defense mechanism, because if we're aware of the negative, we're going to know what to do about it, or we're aware so we can start defending ourselves.
Mm.
Where the positive is hearsay, you know, oh, yeah, they're saying that about us. But one of the things I do as a coach is acknowledge You know, take, reward yourself. That's the word I'm looking for. Reward yourself for what it is that you have achieved, because we get to the achievement and we ignore it. The fact that you're getting positive criticism, you need to give yourself a pat on the back. That is absolutely fantastic. And our default is to ignore that. But now that we've put it out there on the table to say, moving forward, I'm acknowledging my negative and I am rewarding myself for the good things I do, the positive, then because you're aware of it, you can start doing that.
We've had a message in, Annarine, from somebody who says, can a life coach help a 15, 16-year-old who's got great ability but who's undisciplined and lets themselves down with schoolwork? Great question. Thank you for that. Annarine?
Yes. The thing with life coaching is many life coaches specialize in different things. So the trick is actually to find the right life coach for you. So I know that there are actually like a parent coach where your parent can also get involved. So you can find the right coach that is going to stimulate that child and find out why they are not able to do it themselves. Because that's going to be the underlying key as to, you know, what is actually going on within the child's head that it's not able to do that. And I mean, that can be a variety of things. So my advice is definitely look around for the right coach.
Okay, yeah, that, which is the same as if you were going to go into therapy, I guess, isn't it? You need to find the right person for you. What are the most common things that you deal with as a life coach, Annarine?
Well, the funny thing is that a lot of the common things is the fact that everybody feels as if their problem is unique to them.
Right.
But in the meantime, we are actually not alone in this, you know, the swarm of life. We are actually all suffering from very, very similar things. The event, perhaps, that we've experienced might be different, but the actual underlying feeling is often so the same. So I find that a lot of people come to me for the same thing, you know, like they feel as if they are really, really overwhelmed and they just can't break themselves through. They're stuck. They feel as if are unable to recognize like the good in what's around them. They've achieved so much and they look back and they're like, but I actually feel nothing for that. I worked at it and I feel nothing for that. Another one is, which is also a big one, is people come to me and they're looking for the right person. You know, someone who they can connect with as a relationship, and they just don't seem to be able to do that.
Okay, let's zone in on that a little bit more. When somebody comes to you and says, I'm looking for the right person, how much do you say, okay, let's look at for who the right person is? And how much do you say, okay, let's turn that vision, let's turn it around and look at yourself? Are you ready? Are you the right person to meet the right person, if that makes sense?
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head,
okay.
Right? So that's exactly what we do. It's like, okay, we need to determine what the right person is for you. Perfect. You know, we need to look at the rules around how you want to be loved, you know, your beliefs around love. Yes, we look at all of that, and then we bring it back to self. We bring it back to ultimately, in order for you to be loved and to experience the love that you need, you actually need to start loving yourself. And then that's where the real work begins.
Let's talk a little bit specifically now about where we are currently globally, as a country, etc., in terms of COVID. A lot of people will be struggling. A lot of people will feel overwhelmed. A lot of people will feel anxious. A lot of people will feel that the future is uncertain. How are you approaching that, and how are you advising your clients how to deal with those issues?
Well, I look at it with the relationship between the variety and the certainty. So we all have a natural relationship that needs to balance for us. So it's not the same for everybody. You might need, you know, 60% variety in your life and only 40% certainty in your life. So everybody's different. So I look at the individual and determine how much certainty versus how much variety we need in the world in order to live normally. Because what the lockdown has caused us is the overwhelming sense, because it's made us uncertain. Not only uncertain about ourselves as individuals, it's made us uncertain as a nation, it's made us uncertain as for an entire world. So this uncertainty we need to highlight, and we need to say, right, for you as an individual, how much certainty do you need in your life? If it's a very, very large amount, the overwhelm is most likely going to be very high. And then we try and incorporate more certainty on a day-to-day basis. Like, you know, fixing your schedule, getting a diary, making sure that every Friday you actually are connecting with a family member. Have certain things within your life that create certainty to kind of, I wouldn't say eliminate, but to ease that sense of overwhelm.
I love what you say about what you keep hearing is eventually what you become. And I imagine that the same, you know, what you keep saying is eventually what you become.
Absolutely.
Let's in wrapping up, let's talk about changing the way that we speak to ourselves, whether that be at this time where we might be feeling anxious, if you constantly sit in that anxiety and say, I'm scared. Whereas I like the idea of, and one of the things that has really helped me sort of get through many a difficult situation is the idea of acting as if. I might be feeling terrified, but I'm going to act as if I'm not. And it's not denial. I think there's a big difference between acting as if and denial. But it's about, again, I think we go back to that, the reframing. It's about reframing a situation. So to talk to us a little bit about that, the changing that voice so that what we keep hearing is actually something slightly more positive.
Okay, so the first thing is that you need to first know what you're saying. So get yourself a journal. Start writing down and start really being in the present so you start hearing what you're saying. Because a lot of us don't even know what we're saying. We have this extra mind chatter, this constant noise at the back, but we don't know what it is. So let's unpack that. Let's evaluate that. If it means that you need to get a diary, if it means that you need to spend some time with yourself, if it means that you need to constantly, all the time, just listen to what you're saying. That's the first thing you need to do. Once you've figured that out, then you can change it into, it's almost like convincing yourself, you know, it's not like denial, it's not, you know, you convince yourself of the exact opposite, but it must be true to you. So I think I need to give you an example. So let's go back to the idea that we are not worthy. Okay, so now all of a sudden you're starting to write down and you realize that it keeps coming up, but I'm not worthy to achieve that. You think, oh, they're unworthy. So now what are you going to do to compensate the unworthy? And it's like, actually, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find the evidence of where I have been worthy, and then I'm going to say that. So here comes a negative thought. I'm not worthy. Oh, yes. I know this thought, I recognize it, but I am worthy because I actually did really, really well in the last presentation I had to do at work. So you take what it is and you actually focus on that. And then you take action on that in the exact opposite. You find truth in the opposite and then you concentrate on that. See, it's a process and it's not easy, but it's really, really effective when you start the process and move through with it.
Somebody asking on the WhatsApp line, Anoreen, how you feel about vision boards.
Oh, I love them, but I often find it quite difficult to actually sit down and do it. I love vision boards. Let's not make vision boards complicated. You know, if it means that you need to, you know, quickly go onto Google, take a little bit of images and put it onto, you know, a Word document, do a vision board. They lovely. Make it easy. You don't have to go to the shop and spend hundreds of rands and getting a beautiful board up. Have it on the screenshot of your, on the desktop of your computer.
Or Pinterest.
Make a vision. Yes, exactly, Pinterest.
Pinterest is brilliant for a vision board. That's just my...
Make it easy.
Yeah, make it easy. Somebody says, we're designed to look at the negative aspects in life. It's part of our survival, i.e. a lion will kill me as opposed to, nice kitty, let me play with you. That's why it's so easy to go to the negative. Thank you very much indeed. You haven't sent in your name, but thanks very much. What sort of training do you need to become a life coach, Anoreen?
Well, I actually did my training through a company called New Insight, and I actually have really enjoyed doing the training because in order to become a life coach, you actually have to coach a specific amount of people.
Okay.
So you have to qualify to become a life coach, and then there are obviously steps that you need to take in order to become one.
So I can't just sit here on a Saturday morning and call myself a life coach?
No. You have to register through Comensa in order to, you know, to say that you are a certified life coach. So there's definitely a process for that.
Listen, how can people get in touch with you?
You can phone or email me. My email address is anarine@arlifecoach.co.za.
Wonderful stuff. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the show this morning. A real positive energy for a Saturday morning, Anarine. We thank you very much for your time. Anarine Rousseau is a certified life coach. And as she said, you can find out more information about her and about life coaching via her website, which is ar-lifecoach.co.za.